Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Testicles. All right, I think we're good. We did our mic check.
Yeah.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 455, The Kaiju Aftermath. I'm Saverin.
I've been squashed.
And Shiva.
I survived.
You survived. You are here. You do still exist. We have proven that you are still around.
The con just eats me, like, usually about January 1st through con.
Yeah, because it's been a lot, but we've survived. We just ran through Furry Fiesta, and by ran through, I mean
we speed ran it. We did the whole con in one day.
Yeah.
And then said, fuck it, and went home.
Now, that would be kind of funny if you just, like, speed run a convention, you have 5-minute panels, the dealer's den opens only 10 minutes, you're only allowed, like, speed sketch artists in the artist alley. The gaming tournaments.
All the drawings are stick furries.
The gaming tournaments are WarioWare only.
Can you draw my character with a really big stick, if you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. That would be fun, though. Like, do a speed tournament where you have to play remember WarioWare on the Wii, where, like, you had 5 seconds to play the game, and then you pass the controller over to the next person, and then, like, you determine winners that way? That was a really fun original Wii U game.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to, like, get a copy of it. But hey, this is Southpaws, and we're back. We've survived the weekend, and we're going to talk about Furry Fiesta to start. And we have a couple topics, and we'll talk a little bit about the Super Tuesday stuff, because it's not as exciting as we hoped it would be, but also the real shit starts now. But let's talk about Furry Fiesta first. So, Fuzz, how was your fiesta?
It was okay. Yeah. We did okay, and I got to have dinner every night with different friends that I hadn't seen in a while. Got to catch up with people, and I was on a panel. Kyle and I did the furry publishing panel, and I attended a panel on publishing outside the fandom. So I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Let me hear what this person has to say about it. So that was cool. He knew his stuff. I was just kind of nodding my head going, yep, that's how it be. You know, a lot of it was the harsh reality of you're not going to be Stephen King or John Grisham, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, it's like, these guys are the outliers.
Yeah, and, like, on that topic, is it Lindsay Ellis, I think, that used to be on, like, the Nostalgia Chick?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was her that posted a YouTube video about she has a novel coming out and how it basically took her 10 years to write this novel and go through the process of getting an agent, and then that agent leaves, and then it's backburnered for another period of months or years, and then she has to find another agent, and et cetera, et cetera. It took her 10 years while she was doing other stuff. And it's a really good detailed breakdown of the publishing process from one person's perspective. And, you know, even if not everyone's publishing process works exactly like that, it does give you an idea of exactly how the mainstream publishing industry functions. And so if you're a writer and you're looking into getting into mainstream, like Big Five publishing, I'd suggest looking it up. It was the most recent. When I watched it, it had only been posted 8 hours ago, so it's still pretty recent. So just, like, look for her channel on YouTube, and it'll be one of the most recent videos on there. So I'd recommend checking it out. But yeah, Caudle was the name of the fur that was doing the panel, and he was basically right along that. What was really odd about that panel, though, was it was only 30 minutes long. which is unusual for a panel, but basically he prepared like a slideshow and, you know, had time to talk to basically go through it in that period of time. So it worked out. But yeah, I had a bit of a weird... So I discovered a thing, and maybe some listeners have had this happen to them. I had never heard of it before. I had a thing happen called a Xanax hangover. Have either of you ever heard of this?
No.
No.
Have either of you ever had to take Xanax?
No.
Okay. So Xanax is an anti-anxiety drug. It's highly addictive, so you have to use it in like extreme moderation. I take maybe 3 or 4 a year, which is way below average. I think my Xanax are actually expiring at this point. And it's when your anxiety is really up. So like sometimes like before I go on a plane, and it's not because I'm afraid of flying. It's because I'm freaking out about did I forget anything and running around and packing my bags and stuff like that. So I'll often take a Xanax like the morning of a flight to just kind of help me out as I prepare everything. But I was having some pre-con jitters. And so I took one, I think it was on the Thursday, and then the next day I felt highly antisocial, anxious, depressed, and I was in the dealer's room and I was like, I can't be here right now. I can't do this. This is just, I need to just not be around people right now. And I went and I had a nap. And Ajax told me later about the Xanax hangover. It's something that he knew about. And I Googled it. And they were like, and it was like, this can happen sometimes, just depending on body chemical factors at the time. And the only thing you could do to help it is sleep. Or, well, sorry, the only thing that helps is time. And they recommend sleep, just so you can sleep through the worst of it. So I took like a 2-hour nap. And I felt a whole lot better afterwards. And the next day, I felt amazing. So, like, my Friday was really kind of shitty. Not because of anything that the con did, but just because of this situation. But then I felt great Saturday and Sunday. So, I had a... Overall, I would say I had a good con. But just putting that out there, if you ever have to take Xanax and you have a really shitty day the day after... It doesn't happen all the time. It's the first time I've ever had it happen, but that's something to watch out for. And, you know, hopefully have a friend or family member around you. So if you start getting like dark thoughts or whatever, they could just be like, you know, go sleep it off.
Go take a nap.
Yeah. So that's my, my medical public service announcement for this week.
So how did yours go, Shiva? Because, I mean, you're in the dealer's den at all times, but you basically have to make sure that there's no fires going on in the dealer's den.
Right. Pretty smoothly. It was a little rough because I also oversaw a charity this year. And a combination of scheduling and low staff meant they didn't have enough to cover. So me and my staff ended up helping cover, like, the charity where they play Plinko upstairs.
Oh, wow.
And that was Sunday. And after that, I mean... This, in some ways, was some of the most smoothest TFF that I've done. It was... I didn't have a lot of fires.
Well, you didn't invite back the fire breather to be in the dealer's room.
No.
You know, he'll do a fire sketch all over your body.
It was such a smoothly run from my section of the con. Not super memorable, because there just weren't that much... Wasn't that much crazy going on this year.
You just went out there, did it, got it done, and you're like, all right, well, that was cool.
That was a thing. Yeah, yeah.
Having an uneventful staff experience is totally a great thing.
Yeah, and...
If you were ever bored, it's a good problem to have in your position at the con.
Well, for me, it's like I go out, I hobnob with the dealers, check up on them, meet the new ones, say hi, you know, spend some time with the newbies.
Oh, you know what? I want to give props to your staff on the... So we have a dealer's chat. Shiva made a dealer's chat for this year, and then there's a separate chat that goes on. But in the dealer's chat, I noticed the people that were there by themselves, running the table by themselves, would be like, hey, I have to take a bathroom break. And Shiva or Gar would reply like, okay, on my way. So they were going and like watching people's tables for them while they were going on a quick break or something like that. And that's something I've only seen like one other convention do. So I think that's a really cool extra going the extra mile for the dealers, because like I said, that's not a common thing. And it's not a service I utilize because we usually have three or four people mm-hmm. working our booth. But for the individual artists that maybe don't have a table assistant with them, that's like a super nice thing to have available.
Or just don't have a friend near them to watch their stuff, or...
Yeah. So yeah, good on you. And lots of good communication in the staff chat. You give the dealers your phone number, which giving furries your phone number could be a bad thing. But, you know, I hope nobody abused that. But yeah, things are very well run, at least from my perspective as a dealer.
I mean, I occasionally will have somebody call me. Usually these last couple of years, they'll ping me on Telegram first. I don't want anybody locked out of the den where, oh shit, they forgot medication. That's happened. Their phone, their iPad, their cash box, that kind of stuff. There's stuff where I'll go and I'll let them into the den because, well, there's some stuff you can't live without overnight.
Yeah. I know not every con does that either. Some cons are like, they put a chain and a lock on the dealer's room doors and then they're just offline for the evening.
Yeah. And I've always from year one been like, I've got control of that room, not security, not anybody else that, you know, that's my responsibility. So.
Yeah. It is nice to be able to lock your room up as needed. Yeah. Because... You know, and it was also nice that Marsalis A and B are separate keys.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Separated by the Marsalis Air Wallace.
Yep. And yes. The Marsalis ramp.
Which we actually got them to secure this year better than the prior years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only had to have them come and lock that door once during the con, which I was always making sure because that ramp, you could... push into, if you're really feeling up to it, you could break into both A or B mm-hmm. if that upper door was not secured.
Yeah.
We actually had them, you know, when you're in a hotel room, that kind of weird latch you can throw.
Uh-huh.
They actually installed one on my side of the door down there this year.
There's one on mine as well, though yeah. It was not as well installed. So, like, if you really worked at it, you could break it, but it would take a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, they did that for both those doors.
Which, cool. I mean, it... Before is like because we were opposite the other
the social space.
Yeah, it was much easier to secure, but you guys ran later than us and yeah.
Yeah.
All in all, happier with the ability to really secure that room this year.
Yep.
Additional step at least.
How did your con go into your new gaming space?
Yeah. So this is where I get to be extremely, extremely fucking happy.
Yes.
So my gaming this year went pretty much exactly how I wanted it to. The electronic gaming space this year at Fiesta went from being a 1,700 square foot tiny little room with a weird pillar in it mm-hmm. to a 5,000 square foot space with only six pillars. But on the map, they were oversized. So when I was doing the layout, I thought, oh, they're going to take up more space than they did, and they really didn't. So the way we had it set up this year, it was kind of a U-shaped space. We had five setups on either side and then five along the back facing in. And there was a seating area that sat around probably 25, 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a screen and projector that Kalos was running because we were doing tournaments and stuff all weekend. And I want to give a major shout out to Kalos, who does listen to this, it turns out.
Oh, hi, Kalos.
You did a great job.
He and his friends that... It came along to help him do commentary, and he ran the stream. We had to, like, scramble and get internet access for that room, like, last second, mm-hmm. but we got it done. And we took the layout that I had in my head and then just completely spun it around to make it work how it needed to work. And it was just a very smooth event. Because, like, we ran three tournaments. We had the most recent Undernight Inbirth EXE Late CL-R, I think it is. It's an anime fighting game. It's the most recent version. It was one of those complete editions where it has all the characters and all the colors and all the other nonsense. So you just pop the disc in the machine and you run the tournament and it's good.
Nice.
We had only 11 people for that one because it's new and it's an anime game. Very niche. But there's still 11 people that paid the charity tournament. Then Saturday, we had a bunch of people bringing their Switches. So we had five setups plus main stage for... so we had six total Switches so we could run the Smash tournament, which had 96 people, which took us forever to do. And this was even just single elimination.
I got a real quick question for you. How much do people pay to be in the tournaments that goes to the charity?
It was $5.
Okay, so you add all that up together then. So you're...
We had 130 total participants this weekend that paid us.
So, yeah.
So 130 times 5.
That's some extra cash for the charity then.
That's pretty good.
Great.
So that was really cool. And then on Sunday, we had 14 people that showed up. We had like 20 people that registered, but only 14 showed up for Tekken. But we were able to make that double elimination, and we did it so that we ran them, most of them on the stage to stretch it out. Mm-hmm. And plus, Kalis was streaming it from his Twitch page, twitch.tv/KalisMirage, I think it is. I can put a link in the show notes.
And that's K-A-E-L-A-S.
I-S.
I-S.
K-A-E-L-I-S.
Okay.
Mirage, I think. I'll double check. And he somehow managed to make it be like 1080p. And I don't know what sorcery he did, but it was apparently a nice smooth stream. His stream only crashed once right at the end, but he was capturing the VOD, so it didn't matter. And he's already got all those uploaded to YouTube for people to watch.
I noticed he linked to the Furry Fiesta YouTube channel, so apparently it's all on the Khan's channel.
Huh, okay. And just, I really couldn't be happier with how that side of things went. And then, of course, I had some issues with PlayStation games, because, like, some of them are really picky bitches about... They have to call home to check for DLC, and if you've logged into one PS4, it's going to be like, we've logged in elsewhere, so we're going to take away the DLC over here. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you're really only... You're supposed to buy it per machine, but I'm not spending $800 so I can have access to DLC for Tekken 7 on 10 machines. Fuck that noise. But we were having some issues with that. So we did have some very kind individuals log in on their own PSN accounts.
Oh.
So it would basically hotspot a phone. They'd log in. It would go, okay, you've got the DLC. And then turn off the hotspot.
And then move to the next one.
Yeah. That's cool. How we got the most recent Dragon Ball FighterZ update working. But Street Fighter V worked off the disc. We had Mortal Kombat 11 was being kind of picky, but we got it working. So... It did work, and we're primarily fighting games on the backside. We had a very kind individual share her PlayStation 4 that had the import version of Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, which was very popular. They also had Marvel's Capcom 3 and a couple other games on it. We had someone bring their Xbox One that had Forza and Just Dance, and I think also Madden, which there were some people playing Madden for a little bit, which was funny because you don't expect people to play Madden at a furry con, but it's a two-player game, so whatever.
Yeah. So another question, and just giving you a chance to talk more, I guess. Do you just have a couple of monitor setups that don't have anything connected to them so that when random person shows up with their Xbox One, you could just we have a space here, and you just plug everything in?
Yep. So what we did this year, in addition to expanding our inventory of PlayStation 4s, is we also got 10 BenQ 24-inch tournament monitors. They're gaming monitors with a 1 millisecond delay, and they're 1080p. Very, very fancy little monitors, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they were on sale for $95 during Black Friday.
Oh,
so
nice.
Instead of the, $1,600 we had budgeted for televisions, we spent $950 plus tax instead of $1,200 plus tax on $200 televisions, because I was talking to Kalis and he was like, no, get game monitors. And so I did. And so we had those for the PlayStation 4s and any of the setups that were going to be tournament games. But then on the backside, we had, I think, 5 just of our other televisions on the backside for people to just bring whatever. We had someone bring their home version of Sound Voltex with the funky custom controller. Oh, and then of course the other stuff that I'm really happy with is I sent out invitations to a couple of furry game devs, and two people took me up on it. Kaze Cat with their Untitled Furry Fighting Game, Kaze Cat on Fur Affinity. they're actually pretty popular. They've got like 1.3 million views on their account. I was really impressed. And they've been working on this Mugen Fat Fur fighting game for the past 3 years. And I was like, yo, why don't you come and bring your stuff and we'll set it up and let people play for the weekend. And so he did. He brought his little one of those little tiny Intel Nook computers. We hooked it up to the TV and just people played it all weekend. And that place was really going like the entire time. People were really having a good time. And the other person that came was Serbillion with their game Breeze in the Clouds, which is a little side scroller with a cute little corgi mascot as the main character.
Oh.
And like they had worked their butts off. They had little 3D printed figurines of some of the characters in the game that they'd like just they're the blank models, but they were 3D printed, and they had stuff to show off, which is really cool because, you know, this is my gaming space and I want to have the things that I like. You know, I want furry indie devs. I love fighting games, so let's have some tournaments. And, you know, maybe next year, depending on how things go, I want to have some speedrunner stuff happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the person that might have been able to help me do that, Brasinja, had some major family issues right before that because...
Oh, yeah, because his husband...
His husband broke his fucking hip.
Yeah.
Which, poor Mango. I think they were at the con. I didn't see them at all.
Yeah, and Mango was walking with a cane at the time, so he's at least back on his feet and walking around
That's
now.
Good.
And apparently it's basically healed now. He just needs to, like, build the muscle back up because, I mean... Not being able to walk for a while, you lose some strength in your leg. But so he's okay now. But yeah, they were both at the con. I hope they had a good time. I think they did.
Yeah, I was just in my gamer dungeon pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Because even with Kalis was always in there with his crew, with their stuff. I had Zirian, we had Tyler G, who was a very loyal volunteer, who I might as well just recruit to be on staff at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's volunteering all the damn time for, like, everywhere.
Yeah. And you need more permanent staff.
I totally need more permanent staff for Fiesta. And I think that now that we've shown people that we're serious, that more people will be like, oh, they ground this out and they got it done. This is really cool. I want to help.
Yeah.
So, like, I had at least 3 more people be like, yo, I want to help next year. And I'm like, please go to our website and volunteer/go to join staff because I need them.
I don't know a whole lot about video games, as you know, but like I've, you know, from having followed Sonic Fox's story over the last few years, I know what a big deal like fighting game tournaments are and how many people like watch them stream that and stuff. So I actually thought your setup was really cool with having like the audience area right there, right in front of the projector screen. So people could actually watch along, you know, and be streaming it for people at home. And I think after now that you've done this successfully this year and it worked out really well, I think you really need to market that maybe and, you know, capitalize on that success. And you'll just grow an audience for watching that and get more people interested in, even if they're not playing a game, it's just being in the room to like watch the tournaments and stuff.
And that's what I really hope to do because like I did get some feedback that Sarah sent my way that there was someone's like, man, this like I felt like I was at a legit tournament. This is really cool. And I got that feedback from a lot of folks.
You even had trophies and stuff for
I had little trophies. The Tekken tournament one said King of Iron Paw.
Aw.
I said I was gonna do it and I did it.
Yeah.
It was because I bought like first, second, third trophies for the 3 charity tournaments. In addition, you know, they got their shirt and whatever else and the other prizes. And so, and like the top prize was just you get an attending membership. And the funny thing is, the person that won Smash this year was also the same person that beat 72 people last year to be the Smash champion.
Oh, cool.
So they'll get to come twice to Fiesta for just being really good at Smash Brothers.
Nice.
That's fine. That's really cool. So I'm really super happy with how it went. And now that we've pulled it off, we can get more people that want to do it. And the other thing, it was funny because we had that Fandom Legacy Con that's this coming weekend, the setup's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. They had a table out outside the dealer's room in that other little stretch there. That,
yeah,
like,
the apparently their rep person who was there was like, hey, are you guys independent or are you con staff? And I'm like, we're con staff. It's like, oh, well, the guy who was going to be running my game room backed out, so I need someone to run it. And I'm like, I can't help you, dude. I'm sorry.
Really? You don't want to go and staff another con, like, 2 weeks after your own?
No, 1 week.
1 week.
It's this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm helping my parents
God,
set up.
God, I forget. Time's weird. I forgot that Fiesta was literally just 4 days ago.
Yeah, I'm helping my parents set up tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's at the same hotel as Siesta is.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So, nice surface parking.
You know, I thought that when I saw their flyers, I was like, that hotel name's familiar. Is that where Siesta is?
Yep.
Cool.
So, we'll see how they have it set up. I've never heard of this con until this year, but it is really funny. My parents had a really good year. They're very happy with that.
Excellent.
And they said they beat last year's numbers, which is always nice. And also, they were like, oh, ACFI. Oh, Austin Furry Burlesque. Oh, Anthro Expo. They're really, really wanting to get into more furry cons or more conventions in general because they're indoor, generally have helpful minions to help them set up and tear down, and people come to spend. Mm-hmm. And like, my mom made some really nice tie-dye men's dress shirts. Like, she gets the white cotton dress shirts and then tie-dyes them, and they just look super unique and cool. And
I didn't know she did that.
Yeah, I got some photos. Yeah, I mean, it's relatively new, but she'll tie-dye literally anything. If it's cotton, she can tie-dye it. If it's silk, she can tie-dye it. It just, the color doesn't come in quite as much.
Dude, I want to see some pictures. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I'll put them in the chat because they're really impressive. The stuff my mom did is really impressive, and they had a good year. So I'm really happy for that. Yeah, I just dropped this one in the chat of one of our security dudes actually bought the shirt. His girlfriend bought it for him. And nice. It's a rainbow swirl men's button-up shirt, but it's tie-dyed.
Oh, I know. That's Element.
Yeah, one of our security dudes. And his girlfriend got it for him. So that was nice.
Very cool.
Element's good people.
So I'm really pleased with how the con goes, but I really, really need more staff because 15-hour shifts, even when it goes super smoothly, are ultra tiring. And like by the end of the con, the last day, like we finally loaded everything out, and then my parents needed another like 25 minutes or so to help. And that just pushed me past my limit.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw me at that dinner with Don Ryu, and I looked dead.
Yeah.
I slept relatively decent amount of time for me at Fiesta. But Monday, I got home and. Yeah, got up at like 8 to get the room packed up, had to get Rama to the airport. So we were out of the hotel by 9 a.m. Monday morning to go to the airport, do a couple errands and head home. And I got home and I was at my, doing stuff and it's like I'm at the computer just doing wrap-up shit. And my ass started dragging. Like I found myself nodding off. Mm. It's like, fuck it. I don't nap, and I either have, because if I wake up, go take like a half hour nap, I wake up feeling sick, kind of ill. I have to do like a solid 3 hour or so nap for me to feel like I've gotten anything done.
Yeah.
And then I kind of feel weird for the rest of the day, just kind of off. Like me and napping is not something that usually happens.
So weird for a cat.
Yeah, I know, right? So I think I lay down like around 2:30. And Sarah comes, takes a nap with me. He gets up like around 5. Do you want to get up? No. And I end up sleeping from like 2:33 in the afternoon to like 7 at night. Get up, stumble around, do some stuff, and then I'm ready to go back to bed at like my usual 11 o'clock.
I'm really glad I took Monday off because I think we all need to do that because, yeah, even if you sleep a good amount during the con, it's being that busy for 3 days or 4 days catches up with you.
Because half a day on Wednesday, full day on Thursday of doing con shit. And not just like a normal like day. I mean, I'm busy in the den till 10:30. I start kicking people out at 10. Usually I have to force the last few people to leave by going over and staring at them judgmentally until 11 o'clock. I can't remember what night I did it on. It was either Friday or Saturday. There's a couple of people just sitting around chit-chatting. And I said, you guys got 5 minutes, and I break out the Batman voice. And they headed out.
I know I wasn't chit-chatting, but I was tagging display copies that we had not had a chance to tag before the con or during the day. Because a lot of our stock actually, well, not a lot, like 8 boxes arrived on Thursday.
I know. I went up to you and stared at you.
Yeah. And then Friday, Ajax had to go back up here and pick everything up from our PO box and bring it back downtown. And so, yeah, we had like a lot of extra like organizing and stuff to do. And
I was just like, Fuzz, I love you. Get out. I want dinner.
I had to do that on Sunday with the Ying meet. I felt kind of bad because because last year Marsalis A was just the den or just like the corral, the social space
and laser tag.
And it really worked out poorly for both sides because you had karaoke with social space, but also laser tag. So you couldn't just sit there and it'd be relatively quiet.
Yeah.
Because you had people singing karaoke, and the laser tag people were playing their own thing, and the laser tag music conflicted with the karaoke.
Right.
But this year, because we had gaming, in addition to the laser tag, we both saw an uptick in people wandering through. They were far busier than they were last year, and they actually stayed open later because we were open later. And when we started tearing things down around 4, I would still let people stick around because there was like one group of people at a table in the corner that weren't bothering me, so whatever. And then there was this other group of like an artist group. Have you heard of Yinglets?
Uh-huh.
They're like little circle-looking things, but they're tiny.
Yeah.
It's like a shared universe thing that there's a bunch of artists that were working together. And
sort of based on
there's actually a webcomic
that
they're all based
on. Okay, so it's a webcomic thing.
It's called Out of Placers.
Okay. Well, they're cute little critters regardless of what they are.
Did you see the big one wandering around
the mall? I did see the fursuit. But they set up across 3 of the tables, and they're just like, we can set up here, right? I was like, yep, these are my hours. And they were over there in the corner doing their thing all weekend and didn't bother anybody. And our room was open till midnight on Friday and Saturday, so they had all the time in the world they wanted to have a relatively quiet social space and had themselves a grand old time, and I was perfectly fine to host them. I let them stick around until around 5:30 on Sunday until I had to kick them out because we were starting to actually pull stuff from ops down in there for staging, and they couldn't be there. But they were nice, and I just thought it was funny that even though this room was not the designated social space, it still got used as such.
Well, that's good. At least there's people in there.
But that's why we had those round tables for that purpose.
Yeah.
So, like, it hit every point of, like, every goal. It's still social space. It's still people playing gaming. It's still people watching stream. And the laser tag people were very happy, too. So, like, it was a fantastic idea overall, and I'm very, very happy. And so, Fiesta, I'm really glad we had a good year. After that, I took Zirian up to Bucky's to get him some Texas culture. And then we went by Daiso and Kinokuniya Books. I got Beastars Volume 4, How to Talk to Small Furries.
Yeah.
I haven't watched, I haven't read any of the manga yet.
I've got the first 4 volumes. I can share them with you.
I stopped at the first 2 because I haven't read them yet. And so, I'm like, I'm not going to commit to buying like a 900 volume manga.
It's only up to 17 or so, and they're releasing one every month and a half or so.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy all of those if I'm not starting to read them.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
You commented in our Telegram chat earlier about, snap, Castlevania 3, Season 3 is on Netflix. And I immediately sent that over to the guys, and Sarah was like, well, I know what I'm doing. So that's on the to-do
I'm sorry, list. The dog dies in the first episode. The big werewolf.
Mm.
I was like, wow, that was really a brutal way to handle the werewolf. Because he has to fist fight it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Because it knocks his chain whip away. So
I haven't watched it yet.
It's like a 5-minute fight scene. I'm not ruining anything for you. They kill some monsters, Jiva. It's what they do.
I know.
But I watched the first episode and I was like, yeah, I'm not in the right headspace for this. To enjoy like a snarky, violent cartoon. It's like, I'm really not in the mood. But
that'll probably be Sunday for me.
Yeah, but it's a 10-episode season, so that's really cool. Then Beastars comes out real soon.
Really? Again?
The show. Like, yeah. It's coming out on Netflix.
Oh.
So, the English
show. The English
So we'll see another resurgence.
Yeah, so the thing is, the English dub is already on Japanese Netflix, that's how people have a couple of the clips of English Lugosi. The one with Ben Diskin as the lab and the other dude as Lugosi, mm-hmm. where he's like, oh my god, are you in love? And it's this really cute scene in Japanese, and it's still cute in English, but I couldn't tell you what the character's name is that Ben Diskin is voicing. Well, no. Okay. Lewis is the racist deer.
No,
Lugosi's the sad, tall...
Jack. That's Jack. His name. Yes. I knew the name. I can't remember.
So, I'm looking forward to watching that legit when it comes out here in, like, a week. But, like, yeah, Netflix, and then Beastars, and then Brand New Animal starts in April, which is the Studio Trigger one. Very, very exciting furry-ass thing. The other thing that I thought was really funny, and this was both at Kinokuniya and books and movies or the bookstore at Grapevine Mills, mm-hmm. is that because of the controversy around interspecies reviewers, mm-hmm. combined with the rather dire situation of anything being manufactured in China, including book printing, is just halted right now in a lot of cases, they're completely out except for like the most recent volume. On Amazon, it's back ordered. On Barnes & Noble, it's back ordered online. No places have it in stock. At this place, they only had volume 3 and they were shrink wrapped and in hard cases. But it's an adult one, so they don't want any like kids tearing it open to look at it, and that's fine. But I also thought that was pretty funny. They had a lot of stuff in hard case, so like Monster Musume. Each volume was in one of those hard shell DVD cases like you would see at like FYE or something in a mall, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like video games at a Best Buy. That particular manga, because of like the controversy surrounding it and the fact that it's hard to get a hold of right now, is super, super out of stock. It's like, man, it's a darn shame, but that'll be another one of those weird, hard-to-find shows because, like, Funimation's not releasing it in a physical, and the only uncensored versions are, like, the Japanese Blu-rays when they come out, and those are all extremely expensive. So it'll be one of those, like, only the truest of true perverts will hunt down this show. Oh, wow, we're already 41 minutes into this raw recording. Holy shit, guys. How did that even happen?
It's all good.
I mean, we've had Fiesta to talk.
Yeah, we've had a lot of Fiesta to talk about. The other thing we have to worry about is fucking coronavirus. Because, you know, here we are, like, sniffling and sneezing, and our voices are a little fucked up.
No, my voice has been fucked up since Fiesta. Yeah. It's been a little gravelly.
Mine, too, which has been really hard for certain things. I had to yell. Because I was running the bracket, so I had to be like, Thong Wolf and Mega Shark to Station 4! Except loud.
Mm-hmm.
And calling people over the din of the gaming room was a challenge. But I ran the brackets for that pretty well. But my voice has been a little gravelly since the con, yeah. Yeah, the coronavirus stuff, people are really getting a little concerned about it. Like, I'd kind of been ignoring it because I'm like, I've got Fiesta no matter what. I don't have time to be worried about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they canceled GDC, the Game Developer Conference in California, just outright.
Oh, I heard GDC and I thought it was Games Done
Quick. No, that's GDQ.
GDQ, right. Okay, so Game Developer Conference.
Yeah, it's a big, expensive international conference that just got canceled outright. Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. A lot of people were backing out of that one.
Oh.
And, like,
Southwest in Austin, there's... A lot of major companies, I think like Microsoft and
let's see, maybe I put it
Google or somebody.
Apple, Netflix, IBM, and Warner Media, including HBO, have pulled out of South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Emerald City Comic Con is like, hey, if you're a vendor or an artist that can't go, we'll just give you a free refund. And that's fine.
It's going to suck for the con.
Well, it does suck.
Level, but they're doing the right thing by their vendors. Emerald City. Those are people that will come back next year.
Yeah. You know? Emerald City Comic Con is also run by Reed Pop. They're the people that run PAX and stuff. They've got the money. They can soak it.
I thought Emerald City was actually run by the same people that do San Diego Comic Con.
Which might be Reed Pop at this point.
Oh, okay.
And Reed Pop also runs the PAX cons. It runs. They run extremely large conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to soak that thing. Now if... this happens and fucks with furry cons and stuff, that's a far, far bigger issue. Because we all know how close to the line we run, even at our size.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We get fucked. You know, if we had gotten fucked by, like, this hitting the U.S. 4 weeks earlier and people start backing out, that would have caused an issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still crossed, what, 5,200 people, Shiva?
Yeah, 5,200 and change.
Yeah. That's a lot of furries. I mean, that's Anthrocon of, like, a few years ago size. So, I mean, we're still growing. We're pushing up against the seams of the Hyatt, but we'll see. The other thing is we were sharing hotel space with some cheerleaders, I guess.
It was
a little bit.
There was a major cheerleading tournament of some kind in downtown Dallas.
It was at the K. Bailey Hutchinson,
the actual national level cheerleading tournament. It's apparently a really big event.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that they were probably in a shitload of the hotels in downtown Dallas.
Yeah. It was really cute because I remember on Thursday night there was some woman who was extremely drunk. But she was wandering around the bottom floor, walking up to first graders, asking if she could have a hug, which was good of her. Mm-hmm. But then being like, oh, you're so cute. I love you.
Aww.
It was really cute. And then, of course, there was, you know, the usual families wandering through going like, I'm here to see the tower, but this is also touristy enough to see. And, like,
Yeah. The
people that were, like, looking at the fursuiters while the kids are interacting, I'm like, if you ask them, you can take a photo.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. There was a funny little thing I saw. There was apparently a fursuiter that had a bandolier of White Claw that the con staff had to be like, that's really funny, but also you're carrying cans of alcohol on your fursuit. Could you not, please?
Oh, White Claw. Okay.
White Claw, the like, alcoholic seltzer stuff.
Right.
They had a really cool bandolier for it. But
the only reason I know about that stuff, because I don't really drink, is I saw a couple of tweets of people joking about, man, remember back in the 90s, there was probably all these furries called White Claw, and then White Claw came out in, like, I don't know, 2005 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, the coronavirus stuff, it's affecting a lot of stuff. People are getting, you know, there are people getting sick, there are people dying in the U.S. I mean, it's not a lot yet, but the way our government's fucking handling this is obscene. There will be a lot of people that get sick, and there will be a lot of people that die from this. It's funny because this is a SARS-related virus. It's COVID-19. It's a novel coronavirus, which means it's new. It's related to, like, the flu, but not. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's literally, like, SARS COVID-19, or it's, like, SARS-2 COVID-19 or something. Like, it's related to SARS. And so when I made, like, the Peggle 2, it's SARS-2, which it technically is. But it'll be really interesting to see how the United States, being Mr. Big Dick, quote-unquote, richest country in the world, handles it versus, you know, everybody else, which is doing their damnedest. You know, you can pay $3,000 and get billed for your forced isolation in the U.S., whereas in, like, South Korea, you go and get tested. It's a drive-through and free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They have tests that now work in 5 minutes, and they can test 10,000 people a day in, like, Seoul. So it'll be real interesting and embarrassing to see how poorly we end up handling this. But, like, on the company's side of things, like, Panther's company has been tripping about it because what his company does is their company handles credit card processing. That's a lot of, like, travel related industries, hotels, truck stops, gas stations. So if we start seeing people flipping out and staying home, and that'll affect their bottom line, but also it's affecting the companies that do business with them. And also his company is like, well, you know, we do have work from home capability for pretty much everybody at this point. So they're prepared to be like, just everybody work from home if they have to. Like,
yeah.
Thankfully, most of the companies, like I think y'all were saying, have similar, like, worst case. Yeah, folks can work from home. So, you know, we're not going to hopefully see major industries grinding to a halt. But then you got to worry about things like restaurant employees, fast food employees, gas station attendants. Those fuckers can't work from home.
Yeah.
So, like, we might have some big issues with that, too. And it'll be interesting to see how this happens because it's brand new. Nobody's resistant to it. And apparently it's mutating on the fly like a bitch because there was one person in, I think, China that like was released after being declared clear.
And then they died.
Then they died because they got reinfected with a different version of it. So we're in some real interesting times in the near future.
Yeah.
I mean, who could have thought this could be the final furry fiesta before we all die and the birds peck our bloated corpses? Humanity finally did it and the Earth said, get the fuck off. Wipes it clean and then the dolphins will claim the Earth. And I hope the dolphin that John McAfee tried to sleep with gets the help it needs.
Yeah, I saw that. Talking about trying to fuck a whale, and he's like, oh, dolphins are easy. I've already done that.
It's like, it's, you know, like, Netflix, dude. They tried to get some together for some Netflix and krill.
Oh.
The problem of using Fender.
God damn it.
Like, I had that. I saw that tweet confirmed it was real, and I'm like, God, I'm going to workshop this. God, do I really want to post this? I'm going to post it. And I did. Because it's like, you know, that's John McAfee is a real wild character, and like, he's done enough drugs and would probably try to do that. Yeah, that's neither here nor there. But anyways, the other thing that we really wanted to talk about tonight is that Super Tuesday happened. And all that it's boiled down to is that Bernie and Biden are functionally tied at this point.
Yeah.
You know, for all the talk about, oh, Biden won so many states, this is a big surge. All it did was put him in parity with Bernie. And now it's just Bernie. And it's just Biden. So we'll get some one-to-one, head-to-head stuff at this point. Because Warren dropped out today, which kind of wish she'd done it before Super Tuesday. But at least Super Tuesday kind of confirmed, like, well, this isn't going to work. So that, you know, apparently handled it very gracefully. Bernie had very kind things to say about her in a sort of a, like, press release fashion. And now it's just down to those two. Because, like, yeah, the California isn't done yet and it won't be done for a little while, but Bernie won every single county in California. And like, there was a tweet that I just shared into the chat where it's like, for anybody getting sad about this stuff, we've got like 10 more states coming up here in the near term. So Biden's leading in Missouri and Florida, which represent 68 and 219. So, and he's leading by like 11 points. But the thing is, and this is something important to realize, is that when it comes to delegate counts, it's proportional. It's not winner take all. So, like, even if Biden is winning by 11%, all right, he's going to end up with, what, 60% of the delegates out of that number? 60% of the delegates out of Florida? But then you also have, like, in Washington, like, the other states that Bernie is winning by a lot is Washington State, which has 89, he's up by 21%. Michigan, 125, he's up by 10. Ohio is 136, which is 10.1. Arizona has 67, he's up by 12. And Illinois, which is 155, he's up by 5. So, like, the math is still, if this is accurate, going to work out in Bernie's favor. It's going to be close, probably in the end. But even when it came down to Obama and Hillary in 08, like, it wasn't a contested thing because they had enough. It's still possible for them to cross the 1991 threshold now that it's down to two. I really hope the DNC controlling committee doesn't fuck around and find out how badly things can go. But this isn't over. This is far from over. Like, Super Tuesday basically even the playing field. But even then, like, the first four states or three states weren't even that large in the grand scheme of things. Like, New Hampshire was worth, what, 20 total or something like that?
Mm.
Iowa, it has more corn than people. You know, so, like, they're just first because they're first. It's not because they're, like, strategically important.
I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, but I had read apparently the reason that they're first is because it takes so fucking long for them to actually add everything up. So they back when this law was made, they needed to be first in order to, like, participate in the process, I guess?
Yeah, they had to, like, transport the boxes of votes by horse to the nearest county where they could put it on the train and take it to the big city.
Well, this is also why Election Day is always a Tuesday, is because back in the day, they would take all the votes via horse or train and to some central location and, like, count them.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's down to two. Pete and Klobuchar dropped out before Super Tuesday. The centrist Dems are gone.
Yang dropped out long before.
Yeah.
And but then, was still on our ballot.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I know, I can't change that shit.
Yeah, basically, once you qualify for the ballot, you're on the ballot till it's over with.
Yeah.
And, like, I think Texas's was in January or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even late last year to qualify.
There were names on there I didn't even recognize.
Rocky De La Hoya, or something La Fuentes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 5,000 votes in the state. That fucker. Like, the biggest problem that we had, really, was the fact that there was some areas. So, thanks to the Supreme Court being packed with fascists, the Voting Rights Act got gutted, and they basically shut down shitloads of voting areas that would favor Democrats. So, inner city locations, schools, mm-hmm. like Berkeley. Apparently
people at UT Austin, students had to wait up to 7 hours yeah. to cast
the last dude to vote at that place left at like 1 a.m.
Jesus. Yeah.
But he stuck it out.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
I saw a picture of him online. One of the news stations was tweeting about it.
And the thing is, though, is like, if you aren't a retired person or unemployed, you've got to go back to work.
Yeah.
Like, our provisions for taking time to vote are only for, like, half a day. Like, we have provisions in the law that are, like, you have to let someone go vote, but they only have, like, 3 hours to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the lines are that long, you're still disenfranchised.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, that's why we have early voting, but even then, not everybody's able to go do that.
Yeah.
So, we need to make election days holidays, but that's not exactly a controversial statement. Not like, you know, guillotining every Republican in the Senate. That's controversial.
That's a little controversial.
But not wrong. Anyways, so the one thing I've been seeing is like people like under 30s didn't represent a lot of the voting bloc in certain states, but we're dealing with a lot of voter suppression too. Yep. Like it's not just, oh, the millennials that tweet about it don't want to go vote. It's like they want to go vote, they just can't because
a lot of the under 30s are the people that are working the shitty jobs right now.
They got
that don't really like, you know, if you call in to go vote, it's like, oh, well, we're only going to give you 10 hours at Target next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of Target, I actually read a really shitty article about them the other day.
Oh?
They did this big whole song and dance about how they were raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour, which sounds great. Except that they have been cutting hours massively to all their employees, and they've also been doubling the amount of shit they're expected to do.
Wow, that's so, not a surprise.
Like this one person that they had interviewed was like, you know, I have like 12 hours of tasks to do in a 6-hour shift, and there was someone who was like, I used to be full time. I'd get between 32 and 39 hours every week. But now because my average number of hours has dropped below a certain threshold, I don't qualify for the benefits anymore. So it's like, yay, you're making $15 an hour, but you're getting 20 hours instead of 32. And now you don't have health care.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really, really shitty.
Well, that's what Amazon did when they are like, oh, we pushed our people to 15, is they ended up cutting hours like mad.
Yeah, and they also started hiring contractors, which they don't consider employees, so they don't have to pay the contractors the $15 an hour. And the people that they do pay $15 an hour end up getting like 8 hours a week.
Which ends up with people having to rely on social services more.
Yeah, and you also, when you work for companies like this, you're expected to maintain like 100% availability. So if they call you because somebody calls in, you're expected to drop everything and go into work and be happy about it because you're getting extra hours, except that that precludes you from getting like a second or third part-time job. You'd be like, oh, sorry, I can't come in because I'm working my second job, then they just fire you. So, and I remember this was a problem years ago when I worked in retail. And
yeah, like, when I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, and it's like, it's even worse now, and it's just really shitty that they're like, we're going to give everyone $15 an hour, and then they turn around and do this horse shit.
Yeah.
This is why I was kind of critical of Yang's plan to give everyone $1,000 a month, because when companies and landlords hear that, they're just like, well, we'll just increase your rent.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just make shit more expensive. And that $1,000 a month ends up, you're no further ahead because every expense in your life goes up.
Yeah, and like, this is the kind of shit that really pisses people off about like Biden's idea about health care, is like giving people tax breaks on their health care expenditures so that they don't have to whatever. And it's basically, it's just transferring more money from the government to the healthcare industry instead of the government just being like, we're just going to do this now.
Yeah, maybe the government gives you a $5,000 tax break, but then the health insurance companies are like, hey, we can squeeze a little more out of our quote-unquote customers.
I mean, this is where I get to point out again, my parents pay like $785 a month for their health insurance. It's bullshit. Like, the whole industry needs to be burned down. Like, the doctors and the nurses and the people that work at the hospital, you're fine. But, like, if you work in the fucking health insurance industry, you get the gulag.
And I saw a pie chart that showed, like, this is how much the healthcare industry spends on medicine and on actual doctors and nurses, and this is how much it spends on administration.
And it's just this massive, huge fucking chunk of the pie.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of that is them going back and forth with the doctors to negotiate down the price that they have to pay, and people in medical billing collections, and they spend a shitload on credentialing, which is making sure that doctors have insurance coverage at their previous employer and stuff like that.
And just to put a point on it, last week I got a bill from my doctor. I'd lamented on this show before that I have to go to the doctor every 3 months so I get my asthma medication refilled, and how it affects me if I don't have it.
No, there's always a little bit that was not covered by either your copay or deductible at the time, and whatever the insurance agreed to pay. Yeah,
and in this particular case, I had a $20 copay when I got in the door. All right, that's not a big deal. I know there's going to be more. $168 more.
Fuck.
And the thing is, this is what pisses me off so much, is like $100 of that is the spirography. Okay, if you've never used a little, like,
is that spirograph, like when you're in school or
no?
Oh, okay.
No, it's a little, it's a thing that measures your lungs capacity.
Oh, the thing you blow into.
Yeah.
Okay.
To blow into it like three times before and then three times after you do the butyrol treatment, $100 to breathe into the wheezy breezy lung machiney.
Yeah.
$100!
And I know those things aren't reusable. They're the plastic ones.
No, right? It's fully reusable. The mouthpiece is disposable.
Oh, well, the mouthpiece ain't costing $100, so what
the fuck?
And
it's a digital spirographer. It doesn't... It's, I don't know! And I got this itemized bill, and I'm just like... Death to the insurance industries!
Yeah.
And in me having to pay $180 for my 3 months medication... That's just the doctor to see the medication, and my insurance does cover. It's nothing. Like, it's not like I'm diabetic or anything, having to like get insulin or anything, or like the myriad things of pills that many other people have and can't get. This is just me bitching about a relatively small amount of money. But even I understand, as a relatively privileged person, that that's fucking absurd.
So it was three breaths before and three breaths after. It's
$100.
They literally charged you almost $17 a breath.
And it's not the doctor. It's not some specialist. It's just the random nurse that has to come in and just, all right, we're going to do your lung thing. And it's mandated by the insurance company that that we already pay them, I think, like $250-something, maybe $300 a month for this health insurance.
It's also absolutely absurd that you've had asthma your whole life, as I understand it, right? Yeah. So
I just got shit lungs.
They know you have asthma. You have always had asthma, but you have to go and do this stupid test every X period of time to prove that your asthma has not magically gone away since the last time you got your medicine refilled.
Yeah. They don't have to adjust my shit. It's the 10 microgram generic singular, and it's the Advair 5100 discus.
And I have a similar thing where they have to check my blood, the thyroid level in my blood, like twice a year, like every 6 months, even though I've been at the same dosage level of the thyroid for like 10 years now. And they're like, and I'm like, look, I've been on this same dose. Can we just do this once a year when we do the wellness check thing? And they literally said, sorry, this is mandated by the insurance company that we have to do this. And I'm like, really? Twice a year for 10 years for the same medication that has not fucking changed in a decade.
And it's just absurd.
And then I get a bill from LabCorp for like $12 or $20 or whatever for the little part of the blood test that the insurance company didn't pay for.
Yeah, and like sometimes when I'm there, they make me pay for the albuterol thing immediately, and that's $64. And then sometimes it shows up in the bill. In this case, it showed up in the bill altogether as $168. But it's completely fucking random too, and like. This is the kind of shit that's so absurd. This is the administrative bullshit where you have to go back and forth, and like they want people that are able to come in, and you have to jump through these hoops to keep being able to breathe. You know, and again, my particular health issues are real minor. I can afford it. It's not a huge burden, but if I wasn't in a good financial position, $200 when all things are said and done, because there's a $20 copay to go in the door, and then a $168 bill later, $200 if I was on a low wage job, that's a lot of money.
In a situation where you ended up rationing your inhaler and not using it as often as your body tells you it needs it,
yeah,
so that you wouldn't have to get it refilled as often.
Yeah. And
which is what diabetics try to do with their insulin,
and then they
end up dying because it turns out that you can't just take half a dose of insulin and it'd be okay.
Yeah, and like this particular inhaler is down to 30 charges. I think I have a spare at home, but they come in 200 charges per cartridge. So yeah, you know, it's just absurd. And this is why, like, now that we're down to fucking two, it's like, do you have health problems? Yeah. Vote for fucking Bernie. It really is that simple.
Yeah.
Like, if I was down to a single issue voter, it would have to be Bernie. It would have to be Medicare for All. Because I shouldn't have to jump through these hoops to keep breathing, and nobody else should have to jump through any hoops to see the medical shit they need either.
Well, definitely make sure that you so we have election for a congressperson and a senator. And both of those elections have gone to a runoff because nobody got like a required percentage to be the nominee. So this is for Texas folks. For the Senate is statewide. Depends on your district for the congressperson. But that election is that runoff election is going to be in May. So we're not done just because we voted in March and we're going to vote in November. We all have to turn out in May as well and make sure that we vote in the runoff of the Democratic primary. Yeah, this goes for everybody nationwide. Make sure that you are not just going in, voting for president, and leaving. Like, yeah, the president is important. Obviously, there is a lot of power associated with the president that can be misused or not if you get the right person in there. But for a president to actually be able to put something like Medicare for All into action, they're going to need the House and the Senate. And the Senate's going to be difficult because you're going to need to have at least 60 Democrats in the Senate. If you get President Bernie Sanders and he doesn't have 60 Democrats in the Senate, we're not getting Medicare for All. Or if we lose the majority of Dems in the House, we're not getting Medicare for All. So you got to show up. Like, Congress is almost more important than the president. Like, if we truly controlled Congress, if we had a veto-proof majority in Congress, which would be amazing and will probably not happen for a very, very long time, then we could actually get shit done. But hopefully Bernie can build a strong enough coalition and get enough people enthusiastic about going out there and voting that trickles downstream to not just our national level congresspeople and senators, but also on the local level. Because there's a, like, Texas's state government is heavily Republican. And all this shit you hear about Texas, like, well, hope you don't have to have an abortion in Texas because it's really hard to here because there's only like 3 people left in the state that can do it. That shit happens because of our state government. So make sure that you're also paying attention to who your local senator and congressperson is for your state government. Like, I can't stress enough that the down ballot voting is supremely important. And also judges. In many states, judges are appointed by the governor or the legislature. But in Texas, they're mostly elected. And for a long time, we had a ton of Republican judges that were running unopposed and just staying judges forever. And now we're in a position where there's actually Democrats running against some of these long-term Republican judges. So it's very important to also pay attention to your judge races, too, if you're in one of the states that that elects them instead of appoints them. Anyway, sorry, my little rant about the importance of voting.
Well, no, it super is. And like I said earlier, I mean, we are facing issues of voter suppression because the Voting Rights Act got gutted.
And also, I have to say that my stomach was in knots the morning of the primary.
Totally.
Super Tuesday.
I was grumpy online and just okay,
I didn't know if it was just me because I kept thinking, is it because I'm an immigrant and a relatively recent citizen that I'm taking this so fucking seriously? You know, I know you and I disagree about Elizabeth Warren, you know, whether she should have stayed in the race till now or not, but up until like an hour before I actually went and voted, I was still deciding between her and Bernie. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately decided to follow it's not a proverb really, but the thing people have been saying is that primary you vote your conscience and main election you vote strategically. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to vote my conscience. I'd been in Elizabeth's corner the whole time she'd been running, and Tiernan and I had been big fans of her for many years and her work in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So I voted for her. And, you know, but now I'm not going to be, yeah, occasionally the really hardcore Bernie people, especially the ones that lash out against people that voted for other candidates, can really piss me off. But I'm not going to not vote for Bernie Sanders in November. If he's the nominee, I hope he's the nominee, because he's the person closest to the candidate that I voted for.
Yeah.
And I would have been perfectly happy with either of them. But even if it's Biden, I'm still going to show up in November and vote for him. Because while my politics are not in step with his, what President Biden gets us is a Democratic nominee on the Supreme Court to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, yeah. And any other Supreme Court justice that steps down or passes away during his term. And even more important than that, the president also appoints shitloads of federal judges. And right now, it's not really in the news these days because it's not a big scandal, because all the big scandals take up the news. The Trump administration is absolutely packing our federal court system with Republican appointees.
And that are wildly unqualified.
Yeah, that are going to influence how our court system works for at least a generation, probably.
There's
going
to have to be some sort of purge. Like, yeah. There has to be some way to do this, because this lifetime appointment bullshit for unqualified people who've never actually been judges, there has to be a way around that.
I am so happy that the person I would have absolutely hated voting for, Michael Bloomberg, has already dropped out. So that's not something that I have to have on my conscience.
Yeah. He paid $500 million and got ate shit. He won American Samoa.
He paid $500 million for Elizabeth Warren to femdom him to pieces on a national debate and then win one territory.
Yeah.
So, fuck him. I'm glad he's out of the race. I will feel less awful about voting for Joe Biden than I would for voting for Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So, I am totally for the vote blue no matter who. You may have problems with Bernie. God knows you will have problems with Biden. But at least it will be a Democratic administration. And for the court system, that is so fucking important.
We also need to make sure that Mitch McConnell falls down a mineshaft.
I think Mitch McConnell might have trouble getting reelected.
I would hope
so. Because Kentuckians fucking hate him. And I'm really hoping that the Democrat running against him this year can kick his ass.
I hope Amy McGrath does well.
Electorally, I mean. Not like, you know, I'm really glad that Rand Paul's neighbor fucking tackled him.
Bodied.
But, you know, when I say beat the shit out of Mitch McConnell, I mean, I hope she does so electorally.
One will hope. And, like, I do want to kind of put it out there because, like, I've seen a lot of my furry acquaintances and friends online being kind of like, oh, I feel pretty bad about these people that are hardcore Bernie because they've been, like, blah, blah towards Warren. And, like, for me, I liked Warren's shit. Like, if Bernie hadn't been doing so well, I'd be in her court. All of my ire has been directed towards Pete, like, primarily Pete and then primarily, like, the Club Goblin. And they both bailed. And, like, we're down to Biden.
I think our ire over Pete is because he's gay. And,
yeah.
And I mean, because we're queer.
He's a millennial gay.
He's a millennial gay. He should have been so much better. You know, yeah. The first openly gay person in a major party primary. And I was, why did it have to be someone who's basically a log cabin Republican?
Yeah.
And I think that's why we get so pissed off at Pete. Because when I heard the openly gay mayor of this town in Indiana is running for president, I was like, fuck yeah, it's about time. This is awesome. I might get to vote for either a gay man or a woman for Democratic nominee or president this year. And then he just turned out to be so Pete. And, you know, I'm just like, fuck, you are such a disappointment.
This could have been so much more interesting.
I'm not mad. I'm just very disappointed.
Maybe in 20 years he'll come back. He'll have some experience and he'll, you know, be a proper queer politician. But him being the little rat-faced dude he is, like, he dropped out because he wasn't doing very well. But again, he was, like, previously the front runner for a little bit. And then, like, Klobuchar...
I was honestly surprised how well he was doing for a bit there.
Yeah. I mean, they were building him up. I mean, that was... The media was definitely on his side because, you know, they won a centrist in the White House. And when it came down to people also, voting...
if he became the nominee, being able to be like, oh, the gay person's the nominee, that's so much media coverage right there. That's just fucking raw meat for them. I think that was also why the media was like very much on his side.
Whoever the media gives a shitload of love to does tend to do pretty well, which is how we ended up in a way with Trump. You know, there was plenty of things to criticize about Hillary's campaign not visiting certain states, but the fact that they were focusing on this ridiculous TV reality show star.
Yeah, and it wasn't even good coverage. I mean, it was the bad coverage.
It's like, this guy's a massive piece of shit. Holy crap.
It was fucking conversation he had about grabbing women and shit like that, you know? But it kept his name in the media, in the news, every fucking day of the 2016 election. And, like, yeah, Hillary wasn't bragging that she could kill a man in Times Square, so she didn't get that coverage.
Yeah.
You know? And when she did get coverage, it was also bad. It was also like Hillary had a mild cold and felt a bit dizzy. And they were like, is this person really physically able to be the president? Meanwhile, she's running against a man that has fucking nacho cheese running through his veins. And it's like, for fuck's sake.
And plus she had the weird like QAnon shit starting off and the Pizzagate.
That's what really pisses me off is that when Democrats get run out of a race, when they get routed out like that, it's over something stupid that should not be a fucking issue. Howard Dean yelled weird like 20 years ago and went from being the fucking front runner of that nomination to, well, he has to like resign in disgrace now. You know, and now he's like, I've heard him being interviewed a couple of times on the radio recently, and people have asked, and they're like, so is it blowing your mind how fucking stupid this was and the shit that politicians are getting away with now and are getting to stay in the race? And he's like, yeah, it's fucked up. You know, he didn't say that exactly, but
the sentiment was there.
The sentiment was there. And, you know, the Pizzagate QAnon bullshit is a completely made up, absolutely ridiculous story that if you thought about it for more than 2 seconds, you were like, nah, what the fuck? And like shit like that helped sink Hillary Clinton.
And the thing is, that whole thing's been going since late 2016. And like, the arrests are coming. The arrests are coming. And yes, they were saying the arrests were going to happen in January 1st, 2019.
Yeah.
And the 30th, and the 4th, and this, and that. It's so dumb.
You know, the only time a really stupid, made-up controversy didn't sink somebody was Barack Obama with the birther shit.
Yeah.
Like, they tried really hard to make the birther shit a thing. And, you know, all I can think of is that he was elected in 2008. Twitter was so new then that it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it started in 2008, but people weren't really getting on it till year or two later.
I can't really believe that we had Barack B. Shock the Islamic Talk Super Allah Obama as president. They didn't find the super long form.
Right. You know, that's Twitter, that's Facebook.
And really, you know, Twitter is so stupidly amplified right now. Like, you have the national media pissing themselves over leftist podcasts that get maybe 130,000 downloads an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, 130,000 is a lot of people, but that's infinitesimal compared to the actual number of users on Twitter, let alone the 367 million or whatever people that live in this country.
Yeah.
And so they're like, these people, they're uncivil and weird and call Republicans ghouls. And we're really disappointed when Epstein totally killed himself, wink, wink, you know, and stuff like that.
And that's another example. Just a few years ago, when Alan Grayson put up his Republican health care plan, he was a Democratic congressman from Florida, and he said, here's a Republican health care plan. One, don't get sick. Two, if you do get sick, die quickly. And people were like, oh, that was so uncivil. And he lost his re-election. He's not a congressman anymore. Hasn't been for a few years.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that was enough to like get rid of him in like 2010 or 2012. I don't remember when he was in office. It wasn't all that long ago, but shit has just gone so nuts that they were like, oh, that was uncivil. But then again, in the 1800s, like, you know, you literally had senators dueling each other.
To the death.
Didn't somebody pull out a fucking sword in the Senate?
I know that people would regularly give each other cane beatdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, but like now you have the fucking current president saying that the coronavirus is a fucking hoax. And, God.
So I saw a tweet.
We live today in deeply diseased times, physically and spiritually. Yeah.
I saw a tweet today from Dixie Lioness. She was talking about she was in a hospital for a friend, not for her. And she was overhearing the nurse at the station answer the phone and how many times she had to assure the person on the other line that no, coronavirus is a real thing. No, vaccines will not destroy your immune system. You know, and just all this stupid shit that should be fucking obvious. You know, no, don't use vodka instead of fucking hand gel. Like Jesus, who? Okay, like hand sanitizer costs maybe $1.50 a bottle. You know, it's cheap as hell. And like, are you? Why would you pour alcohol, which costs so much more? And like, not even like rubbing alcohol, fucking vodka.
Yeah,
like it's literally below the percentage of alcohol that the hand sanitizer has.
Yeah, because like vodka is at most like 20%, whereas like hand sanitizer is 99%, and even rubbing alcohol is like 97%.
Yeah,
it's people are being real dumb about it.
And it's like this one specific type of vodka that I think they're based here in Texas.
I mean, what are you going to do?
It's put Tito's. Everclear? Yeah, Tito's handmade vodka.
I saw that coming through Facebook.
And they're fucking. Was it you that sent me the thing? It's like, oh, when you think you're going to have an ordinary day at the office when you're the Tito's vodka social media person.
No, that wasn't me.
Okay, well, somebody had tweeted this because, like, basically the fucking official Twitter account of this vodka company had to post a formal notice saying, no, do not use our vodka instead of hand sanitizer. It will not work. Please drink responsibly. You know? Like, what was that meeting at Tito's HQ like? Okay, you're not going to believe this shit, but here's the tweet we need you to send out today.
Like, maybe if you use Everclear.
And even then, that shit's expensive.
I know.
The other thing I saw was one of those cursed Conspiraboomer images. Mm. Was like, oh, if the coronavirus is new, why is it on the can of Lysol? Because coronaviruses are a class of viruses that we've had around forever related to the flu and SARS and various other things.
They're not new.
They're not. This one's new.
Yeah, I mean, it's like COVID-19, we're calling it. But, you know, it's okay because you don't have to have survived the first 18 Corvids in order to die from this one.
Yep. I mean, and hey, what we were saying is the millennial dream. You get 2 weeks of isolation, you can do whatever, and then if you're lucky, you die. So, I mean,
it's yeah, win-win. And then you don't have to pay your student loans.
Exactly. So
it's right now, that is the only way to discharge student loans. Fucking dead. Die.
And you know whose fault that is? Joe Biden's. Joe Biden wrote the banking agreement with the big banks that made student loans non-dischargeable via bankruptcy because of Joe Biden working with the Republicans. So you have a candidate that wants to eliminate student debt and the literal motherfucker who made it impossible for you to do so via bankruptcy.
Right.
Consider this. So, hey,
if you're a millennial with a whole lot of fucking student debt loans right now, you should absolutely be supporting Bernie in the primary. Like, seriously.
Wow.
Anyway, I think we probably rambled about politics.
Yeah, it's enough. Almost 10 o'clock, guys.
Yeah. We're in an hour and a half. It's nearly 10 o'clock. And, like, this has been a good episode. We've basically talked we've talked a little bit politics. But there's not a lot more to say. I got to get home and get this edited. I'm going to be at this Phantom Legacy Con. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully that we won't have a massive fucking pandemic that prevents us from going to FWA, because that's our next convention, Fuzz.
Yeah, and apparently it's shown up in Atlanta now.
Yep.
So we'll see. I think a couple of furry cons have put out like BLFC, I believe, made a statement where they're like, we're monitoring the situation. We're not planning on canceling the con at this point. But that's in May. So, I mean, between now and May, like, anything could happen.
It isn't. And that's also when FWA is, because it's the week after.
Right. Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, FWA hopefully will be for Planet's, well, my next convention, your next convention.
Yeah.
Tieran will be at BLFC, hopefully.
Yeah.
The week before. Yeah.
It's so nuts to look at it this way. Furry convention staffs are literally taking this situation more seriously than the government administration is.
Yeah.
That's where we are in the world, folks. We're also doing a better job of getting rid of the Nazis. Hey, vote furry 2020.
Yep. Hey, you know, Bernie Sanders has a fursona. It's a bird.
That's right. Yep,
Bernie Sanders. And then, of course,
they made a pony.
Made him a pony.
Yep.
Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's out there. Free hoof care is what it says on the t-shirt. Amy New Blue, wife of Peter New, has a t-shirt with the Brony Sanders on it on TeePublic. So if you want Brony Sanders, I think he's a blue pony, right?
Yeah.
Blue pony with the white mane that looks a lot like his hair. It's quite cute.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Also, I finally got the shipping notification for my Bernie buttons and also the shirts from Scott Benson, the Bernie Sanders for Human Survival and his Night in the Woods, Not Me, Us parade shirt.
Cool.
I was really hoping I would have had them before the con, but oh well. I'll have them for the next one.
I almost said, oh, it'd be cool to wear that to the to when you went to vote, but you're actually not allowed to do that.
Yeah. All right, kids, we should wrap this up. It's nearly 10 o'clock. And it's 1:32 on the raw recording right here. So, you can find the show on Twitter at SouthPawsCast, on Apple, iTunes. You can find us various other places too. Just put us in your favorite podcatcher, and we're probably there. Look us up. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/SouthPawsCast. $1 an episode goes a long way.
Have to cancel it for a few months to donate to Bernie Sanders' campaign, we totally support that.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Savin Drake, where I am currently the no doom zone. I'm trying to be only positive posting as best I can.
Mm.
And just say no to the doomers. Shut the fuck up. This is just round two. We're even with Biden. Calm your tits, please. And Savin on Twitch. And you can find me very frequently on the Telegram fan chat, which I'll include a link in the show notes because it's a fun spot to be.
Yeah, it's porn and occasional politics and porn.
Mm-hmm. And cute pictures of Adam.
Yes. You should just follow Savin on Twitter just for the Adam content.
Yep.
Because he's a super cute old pupper.
He was so happy to see me when I came home.
Oh, yes, on the video.
Like, he heard me, like, he was doing the little scratch at the door, like, oh no. And then when he jumps, he jumps up and wiggles, and he's like, oh God, it's you!
Because you've been gone for, what, 5 days?
5 days, and for a dog, that's an eternity. I mean, yeah. Never mind the fact that Panther was home all weekend, but he was gone on Saturday for chunks of the day and gone when I got home on Monday.
Right.
So he was by himself for chunks of time, and that was not acceptable.
No.
But he forgave me.
Yay. Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can purchase ebooks or print books from me for planet.com for print, baddogbooks.com for ebook. I've been putting some of our recent releases out into ebook format lately. I'm trying to catch up on that. I've got like one more to do. And like Savin said earlier, provided that they don't get canceled, we will be dealing at BLFC and then the week after that at FWA. And a few more this year. Of course, you can catch us at Anthrocon. We're actually planning a neat little thing at Anthrocon. All the publishers that applied to be dealers at Anthrocon put in their requests that they wanted to be next to the other publishers. So what we're hoping we can arrange is that we'll all be together in a little group. And we can kind of cross-promote each other. It could be like a little writing book zone. We'll have authors coming over and doing book signings at various times. So we're going to try to make it a thing. We're going to come up with a hashtag and all that stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, Anthrocon, and making it like our little writing center in the dealer's room, like a little bookstore. So yay, buy books, Shiva. I'm done shilling now.
I always support your shilling. You can mostly find me in the fan chat these days. Yep. I don't have much coming up. Furry Siesta is spinning up. We got a couple things in the works. We're going to be at Fandom Legacy Con this weekend, you know, promoting.
Oh yeah. Cool. Or Siesta or Fiesta or both?
Both. Cool, mostly cool. Siesta.
Because it's close.
And Fiesta's over a year away.
Yeah, Siesta's like 2 weeks after AC, I think, right? It's in late July.
Well, no, I meant Fiesta.
Yeah,
Fiesta is over a year away. And
that's what I say. Fiesta is like a couple weeks after.
Yeah, it's like two weeks after AC.
Yeah,
which we did on purpose, mm-hmm. so that people can get back and go to that. Other than that, you'll find me in the fan chat. That's probably the best place to find me.
Yep. Well, on that note,
good night.
And big books.
Vote Bernie. Dearest Vicky, you know, the thing that people don't see these days is that when you're being gay with your girlfriend, you have to consider the thing about it is that you forget to think about what it even means to be while you think about it. You know what I mean? Look, gay. That's what we were trying to fix with this here campaign because, you know, my good friend Cherry Cider once told me back down when we were up here in Albuquerque the same thing when I told Bobby Dave in the Opal office, and if that's if you can't climb a mountain without collecting a few strawberries and baking a pie, you know, the kind that sit in the windowsills while the boys are scrubbing the yard for a nickel, that's when the smell drifts through the air, but the Portuguese didn't like that, and so they told me that I couldn't park on the curb if I didn't have a bike, but that was the only one who even had a popsicle. Love, Katie.
What?